You're listening to Talk of the Rock, and I'm here with a couple of guests. If you could introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Jared Griffin, the Assistant Director for Academic Affairs and Associate Professor of English at Kodiak College.
And I'm Tayton Sheridan. I'm Assistant Professor of College Preparatory and Developmental Studies and the Coordinator of the Learning Center at Kodiak College.
All right, and we're just going to talk about Kodiak College classes, about Kodiak College itself. And just to start out, why don't you tell me a little bit about how this college or this branch of the college ties into the overall system, since I'm new and I could use an explanation.
Well, sure thing. About, I guess it's been a while, about 20, 25 years ago, probably even longer than that, Kodiak College became part of the University of Alaska at Anchorage system. So we're not really, we're an interesting campus. We're not really a community college or a two-year college or a junior college. We are a community campus of the University of Alaska at Anchorage. And they have we have campuses in Homer and in Kenai and in Mat-Su, Eagle River. And so we're spread all over kind of, you know, south central region of the state. And so all of the degrees that the degrees and programs that we offer are they're university programs, UAA programs.
Okay, and so what are some of the advantages of having this relationship with the university at large?
Ooh, advantages. There are a lot of resources that we have access to, and especially at the administrative level and in the instructional level too. It kind of opens up a lot of our faculty here were departments of one. There's just one person in each department, and so it's really nice to have colleagues that you work not you know physically side by side with, but that we communicate often with our counterparts over at other campuses. So one thing I like about this relationship is it does make us feel a little less isolated down here on the island. It does come with, you know, some extra red tape, I suppose, but we do have much greater access to expertise in technology and in assessment that we can tap into. Tayton, what have been your
Along with that, I think for students especially, some of the shared resources like through the library are really important. So when a student enrolls at Kodiak College, they can access the same electronic databases and journals that a student in Anchorage can. And so they have that resource. And they can request a book via interlibrary loan or from one of the other UAA campuses. So it's not just what's in our library, but it's what's available within the system there. And that's I think, a huge benefit to the students coming to Kodiak College.
Get the UAA EPU Consortium Library, they spend millions of dollars a year on research databases that our students down here have access to. So the graduate students at UAA, our students have access to that same information. So yeah, it's a great highlight.
And if a student enrolls in the college, is there a dorm system that they can get involved in?
Not yet. We're working on it. That's one of the most popular questions that we get every time. And we're working on it.
Okay, so if someone comes from, like, out of state or someplace besides where their family is living, not here, where would they live? Like, what's an option or two?
Oh, goodness. There really aren't any options. I know, and that's one of the downfalls of being out here is that the college or the university, we haven't invested in the dorms, really because there hasn't really been a need. We don't market off-island, and all of our students are either on-island or in a program through UAA in which they find their classes. So we haven't started any kind of campaign to recruit students from out of state or even off-island to the college, and that's one of the main reasons why. It's because we don't have any place to put them or means to feed them unless they bring a bazillion quarters for the vending machine.
And that's a way to survive. That's how I survived in college.
Ramen?
Yeah.
Yeah, ramen.
And, like, vending machine food, which, you know, not the best option. So maybe find a different method of feeding yourself than that,
yes,
than I did.
We were able to make a buy a pizza on Monday and kind of make it last 3 or 4 days, you know.
There's a plan.
Yeah.
Or your family's just here and they continue to feed you. So how many locals? So most of the college students are locals then.
Yeah, it's about, we have about 60% of our students are on the island, and the other about 40% or so are through e-learning. So they could be here, but taking our classes online.
Mm, yeah, when I went to college, I stayed at home. I didn't stay at home the whole time. I would go home for weekends, but I was also local in Brooklyn. But it's a much different experience, I suppose, being local here and going to college here than being in New York City and kind of just being an hour away from home.
Right, yeah.
So what are your specialties? You are going to teach, you're an English teacher, right?
Yes, I am an English teacher, and I teach writing and literature and theater. Sometimes I'll teach like a graphic novels or a film class every now and then.
Well, that's cool, graphic novels. Yeah. That's something that might have not have been done 40 years ago. What graphic novel do you
right.
teach?
We kind of go through... We start off with Osamu Tezuka's Metropolis. It's a Japanese manga written in the 1940s, and which is typically seen as like the first modern kind of graphic novel. And then we work our way through, we'll do some things with American Splendor. Sometimes we'll look at Mouse by, and we'll do Batman Year One by Frank Miller. And Watchmen, definitely. You have to do Watchmen. Persepolis by Marjane Satrapi. And what do we end on? Sometimes I'll do like sections of Akira, sometimes, because Akira is like 3,000 pages long, so can't cover all of that. So, yeah.
That's like a great variety because you cover kind of the World War II Mouse selection,
right.
or Mouse. However, it stars mice, so I suppose I'm just going to call it Mouse.
Mouse and cats.
Yeah. Mouses. And the cats are the Nazis.
Yes, yeah.
And the mice are who?
The Jews.
Okay.
And I think the Polish characters are, if I can remember right, are they dogs? I think the Polish characters are dogs,
oh.
If I remember right.
That's such a, such a
Americans
random...
Americans are pigs, I think.
Oh, really? Well, that's...
I'm trying to remember. It's been a few years since
I'm kind of seeing a pattern.
But...
Yeah, I remember actually reading that when I was younger,
yeah.
In high school, actually,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it won the Pulitzer, so...
It's legit.
It's huge. It's totally legit.
And then you have Watchmen, which is about like the fall of the superhero, essentially.
You know, there was almost like the final statement on superheroes was Watchmen for a while, and then now it's just kind of come full circle, and now superheroes are all the rage now. So
yeah. So what classes will you be teaching?
This semester, I'm teaching an Introduction to Composition class. It's called Introduction to Composition. It's also kind of an introduction to written communication and rhetoric, the philosophy of rhetoric, and how we see rhetoric at play in our lives every day and in how we communicate. And then I'll be teaching I love the title, Masterpieces of World Literature 2. Masterpieces. And so I know it's one class and it covers the years from 1650 to the present.
Hmm.
So, 400 years.
It's only 400. So
it's easy.
Out of all those years, what are some of the masterpieces?
We start off with Alexander Pope's Rape of the Lock. We'll do his essay on man. And we'll move into some Molière. We usually read Tartuffe, some Sor Juana de la Filotea, who is a 17th century Mexican nun who wrote some kind of a feminist kind of letters to her priests. Frederick Douglass's narrative of a life of a slave, some T.S. Eliot, some Anna Akhmatova, some Tolstoy, some Tagalog poetry. And usually we end with Tagalog poetry. Sometimes I'll introduce a novel. Like in the past, we've ended with Margaret Atwood's Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Which has been, which students, they love that one. So.
And did you select these or were they kind of set up? You selected them?
Yeah. That's what's great. That's why I love college teaching. I kind of pick what I want, what I think students should know about, what they should read.
Yeah, that's a. There's a lot of variety in that list too, because you have Tartuffe is a comedy.
Yes, yeah. So we do comedy. We do Chekhov isn't necessarily really tragedy, but we'll read some Chekhov.
Some of that nice heavy Russian
light
literature.
Stuff, some heavy stuff, exactly. If we have time, we might read Tezuka's Metropolis. Usually we have time because it's not very long. But some mix of poetry, drama, fiction, nonfiction, kind of throw it all out there. But I use a frame. I just kind of frame it all in terms of we look at different ideas about comedy and tragedy and how those have changed over time. A lot of the writings deal with like the nature of suffering, so how we deal with suffering different ways. And a lot of them, you know, you're talking about, especially in the Western tradition, but you got to talk about God at some point. And so how are these writers talking about God and talking about fate and society and determinism and things like that. So
you're teaching the masterpieces class?
Only the masterpieces. None of the minor pieces.
Only the best. Only the masterpieces. They're major. They're major in history. And then there's the rhetoric class.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the two classes I'm teaching.
So what do you mean when you say rhetoric?
Rhetoric is basically the art of persuasion, or the art of communicating with a purpose. Mm-hmm. So we look at some old kind of theories of rhetoric, especially going back to like Aristotle and what he thought about rhetoric and about communication. And then we look at modern examples, and I even make my students start up a Twitter feed. I know, Twitter, and look at how we communicate purposefully using Twitter or in an academic essay, on a website. Rhetoric is ubiquitous. You know, it's pervasive. So we even do some visual analysis and look at some of the rhetoric, the communication strategies involved in visual art. So we dissect an episode of The Simpsons using rhetorical principles. Though I think Simpsons is kind of outdated by now. I think I have to pick something else.
Oh, really? What would you choose?
I don't know.
So many options.
There's TV. There's just, oh my gosh, there's just so much television out there. It's insane.
But I guess if you're going to turn to rhetoric, TV is a good source. They have so few words they can fit
totally.
In there.
Yes.
And they have to deliver it with a certain emphasis. I think of Mad Men.
Yeah. And there's a very particular audience that each television show is going for. And if they don't reach that audience, you know, they're out. And movies also. You look at, you know, the number one movie over the weekend was Straight Outta Compton and made like $60 million. Nobody thought it was going to make $60 million, but it was created for a very specific, you know, audience. And it found its target audience and made a whole lot of money.
You know what a good example of rhetoric is I was watching Spartacus, which is a very violent show and
yes.
full of all the stuff you can't let your kids watch. And they don't include words like the. So instead of saying... like, get to the point. They would say, get to point, as if, like, that's exact translation from Latin or Greek or whatever.
Yeah.
And that I think that's a good example. You should use that.
Spartacus.
Yeah.
I'm writing that down.
I've influenced Kodiak.
Spartacus.
Curriculum. It's my goal in life.
And you're talking about, like, the old Kirk Douglas movie?
No, I'm talking about the new one.
The
new series.
Or the series.
Yeah, the old Spartacus movie is great and very clean, except for some things. Except for some aspects of that, like a certain bat scene.
And all like the crucified slaves at the
and
end.
That
was
part.
Kind of...
Okay, don't let your kids watch that either, but definitely don't let your kids watch the series because that is extremely inappropriate. Don't do it, listeners.
Oh my gosh.
So those two classes, any extras in there? Any extra classes you might be doing?
Not me, but I know Mark Schreider is doing a philosophy class, and I know he likes to bring in a lot of ideas about fishing and philosophy. So that was really interesting. Thea Falcone is doing a crime and delinquency class, which also sounds really interesting. She says they're going to talk about deviancy, and but I know this is in the newspaper and it's been in the news a lot that, you know, people around here are concerned about crime and this seems like a very timely class for that. So she'll be exploring that. And then there are great things going on in the education department also. Students can enroll in our education program and get their bachelor's degree in elementary education. They don't have to leave the island. They can do their bachelor's degree here. So I won't be teaching those classes, but I'm like really interested in those kind of classes. I probably won't have time to take them, but that's great. I work with these people, so I can just ask them.
Right. And speaking of some of the themes that you incorporate into your classes that are relevant to the community, have you ever incorporated fishing into your literature choices?
Me, you know, not so much. I had thought about a while ago doing a maritime literature class, and that's still kind of on the list to do.
Yeah, that'd be
one
really cool.
Day, and that'd be really cool. There's some great sea writing anthologies. That would be fun. I've always wanted to teach Moby Dick, and I've never really had the opportunity to because it's so long.
Yeah.
But or the narrative Arthur Gordon Pym by Edgar Allan Poe would be really fun to do. And some good old Hemingway.
Yeah. You know. It feels like some of this could be seminar material, or like you just focus on one book and you take your time with each chapter, page. That's the ideal. I remember I tried to do a Dickens seminar.
Oh, I did a Dickens.
We read like 8 books of Dickens, and that is too much. too many books. I think one book, maybe 2 books at most, because they're long and they're complicated. And
well, he got paid by the word.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
in motivation.
Yeah, there you go.
But, you know, one book per seminar is a good idea, and it really lets someone appreciate.
That's another idea, Kayla, that I'm writing down.
You guys should, you know, use this resource, because I'm just full of college knowledge since I just graduated like a year ago, right? I'm fresh. So what are some of the classes that you are going to be teaching?
Yeah. So I'm going to be teaching the same introduction to composition course that Jared's teaching. So he talked a little bit about that. And then I'm also teaching the introduction to college writing, which goes along with that, a companion course. And what's cool about, and these courses go hand in hand. And so what's cool about our college prep program is there's a lot of ways to help students get to college ready. And in this course, students are able to sign up for English 111, and then they immediately turn around, they take 108 with me again right after that, and all of the assignments in that 108 class, in that introduction to college writing class, are designed to help them do well in introduction to composition. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little bit of extra reading, extra writing, time on assignments to help them get ready. And we actually have a bunch of other classes that go along with that, and so I think one of the cool things that Kodiak College does is it has a variety of different pathways to help students who want, or people who just want to get a college degree or certificate, but they're not sure how. There's a lot of different ways to get there. And so if they don't feel like they're ready, there's some different pathways. We have our adult basic education program, and they offer ESL classes as well as GED. So students who may not have their high school diploma yet, but so they want to go that route. And then we have our preparatory classes through the college, reading and writing strategies, some of our lower level classes, so they can move into those. And then this companion course program where they can take English 111 and 108 at the same time, or they can go to the traditional route class by class until they get there. And I think That's really cool, and it's a very unique program that's a lot for, offered at a lot of other places in the country, but not necessarily in Alaska. And it's a nice way to help students get through those preparatory classes faster and get to that certificate program or that degree program that they want to be in.
That transition to college can be such a difficult revelation for a lot of people. I remember I took a class my first year, and it was kind of meant in the same way as your introduction course. It's meant to help kids to transition to a different kind of writing or a different expectation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the kids, they came out of the first grading round, and they said, oh, my God, I got a B. What am I going to do? Because these are kids who are used to getting A's through high school mm-hmm. and doing good work, but it's just a different expectation. So what are some of the lessons you teach the kids or methods that you tell them are a good way to approach this new kind of quality?
Yeah, good question. So I think the process is a big part of that, and we teach that at any level of writing is, okay, you start with brainstorming, and then you move on to thesis and outlines, and then you draft and so on. So working through that process. But as much of anything is confidence building and learning to ask for help when we need it. I think even for myself, when I first went to college, you know, staying up late, not asking for help, just doing whatever, right? That's probably not the best way to go, right? But eventually figuring out, okay, you know, I need to get a little bit more sleep, eat well, like we were talking about earlier, and then making sure I ask for help when I need it. So taking advantage of the resources that are there, talking to your instructor and saying, hey, you know, what can I do better here? Going to the Learning Center and getting help with our awesome tutors. We have a really great tutoring staff. A good chunk of them have master's degrees. All of them have bachelor's degrees or higher. A lot of experience there. And so there's a lot of help on campus where they can go and get the support that they need. And I think that's a big part of that, along with just the instruction that's going on.
Hmm. And is there anything you tell kids when they're struggling or they're trying to transition?
Was that one for me? Oh.
Yeah.
It kind of, I mean, really depends. Every student that comes has a different situation or a different context. Like Tayton mentioned, the tutors at the Learning Center, fabulous resource, and our faculty. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the benefits, one of the advantages that we have at Kodiak College over some of the other bigger campuses is it is very, very easy to get that one-on-one time with an instructor to sit down and help that student who needs help. You don't necessarily get that at other institutions. And so really that's typically the best way to help a student. One is to listen. We take the time to actually listen to them. And figure out what's going on. But then, yeah, we have the resources at the Learning Center and the library
mm-hmm.
also. And students also have access to subject matter librarians in Anchorage. We have it set up through our library that on the library website that if a student has a question about a particular subject, they can find that librarian who's an expert in that subject and chat with them online, just a little text chat. And I still use that in my research and the work that I do, and students have found that pretty valuable.
You said before that you're teaching the same course that,
mm-hmm.
so what are your selections for what books you'll be sharing with the kids?
Yeah, so I'll be using the Norton Field Guide to Writing and actually doing a lot of the same assignments that Jared does. One of the assignments is a profile assignment, and so they'll be reading some profiles and sample ones and then going out in the community, finding somebody to interview and talk to and write a profile about them, that something that potentially could be in the local paper here mm-hmm. or somewhere else, thinking about it. Their audience there and getting some of that real-world writing experience.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. And maybe you can incorporate some audio into that. You can do an audio profile.
Yeah.
You know, that takes writing, too. You don't just speak things, you know.
Yeah.
You don't just say it on the fly. You have to write it beforehand and edit
really
it.
Right.
So you're volunteering
yeah.
as a guest speaker?
I wouldn't fight it.
if I were to be asked, we would see. What are you guys excited about the most? Do you have, like, a book in particular that you're excited to share?
Oh, just, like, in general?
Yeah, that you have on your syllabus.
Oh, on the syllabus. Let's see.
No, it's a tough question because there's so many good books on there.
Yes, there are. You know, I just finished... I just finished Go Set a Watchman by Harper Lee, and I liked it. That probably won't fit on my syllabus anywhere, though. I just finished reading Americana by American Nigerian writer. Her last name is
It's okay. Adichie. We can just Google it later.
Oh, yeah, we'll Google it later. Which I thought about incorporating into my World Lit 2 class. In the past, I've had them read Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe.
Yeah.
And it's been like probably 6 or 7 years, so I might bring that one back.
Yeah, I read that when I was a little younger. There's so many books on the syllabus that you mentioned that I wanted to read or I have read or it's on my list right now. Or I saw the movie, like the Tartuffe. I think that was the one you mentioned. Yeah, it's about this... I'm not sure how much the movie differed from the play, but it's about this man who sees a woman, and he, like, tries to get her husband into acting somehow to get to her. I don't really remember the plot.
Kind of, yeah. How much time do we have?
Google
the plot. It's hilarious. It's a very simple play, and... Yeah, yeah. Molière got into some trouble when he wrote it.
But... I bet. So did his character.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of true to life there.
Oh, yes, yes.
So we have a couple of minutes. It's 12:57 on this computer.
I could mention a couple other classes that we have going.
All right.
Go for it.
We have an awesome Lightroom and photography instructor at the college.
Oh, yes.
Janet Kotwas.
Kotwas.
And so we have those classes this semester. I think there's a watercoloring water painting class.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a bunch of other classes as well that go along with that. I think weightlifting as well.
Oh, yeah.
We have the academic stuff and some fun stuff as well to go along with it and learn some skills as well for those that want to take advantage, for example, for photography of the beautiful Kodiak area here.
Yeah, this is like the ideal place for photography. I've already taken so many pictures on my terrible low quality phone that look amazing despite like its actual abilities. So I've just been posting those to Facebook without any shame. So that's a great option.
And we're also really excited. We have our new industrial arts building.
Mm-hmm.
Our welding program is moving into there. And we have a lot of marine vessel repair classes that are going to be starting up and using that building. So we're really excited about that. That is a great opportunity to see those programs grow.
And when was that built?
It's been built for a while, but we're leasing it. So we'll have it for many years.
Oh, great.
It'll be great. Yes, it'll be great.
And just as a last note, where are you guys from originally?
My dad was in the Air Force, so I kind of grew up in Anchorage for about 9 years, 8-9 years. But I was born in New Jersey. Yeah, New Jersey. Go Devils.
And you know what? Where are you from really quickly? Because we're going to...
Sicken Palmer.
Oh, Alaska guy. All right.
Homegrown.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks, Taylor.
This is Talk About Rock. Keep on listening.